I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast that's stronger than yesterday. I left my husband cause I'm super gay.
Yes.
You're welcome.
You know, I love the leaving of the husband, but I have a lot of thoughts about everything that happens in between. So we're going to talk about it today.
We're going to talk about it. From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. And here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. And we want to remind all of you that we have a Patreon up for The Flame. It is at patreon.com/theflamemusical. We have all kinds of fun things on there. We already have two music previews if you want to hear songs from the show. We're going to have another music preview next month as well. And you can get tickets to our potential virtual table read if we get enough interest. We also have trivia on April 22nd and April 25th. It's going to be haunting trivia. That is actually this week. So this Thursday and this Sunday, we're going to have Haunting of Hill House and Haunting of Bly Manor trivia. Check out our Eventbrite and our Facebook page for more information. We are also going to be at the LGBTQ Family and Influencer Summit May 22nd through the 23rd. So make sure you check that out as well. In the Greater Les Universe, I know Twitter has been completely abuzz about Tig Notaro in a flight suit. We also are loving it. So we just wanted to share our excitement about Tig Notaro really rocking that flight suit. Also, we want to thank everyone who we saw at Klexicon. We had such a blast this past weekend. We hope that some of you found some new friends, had fun at trivia, and got to hang out at some cool panels with your favorite actors and actresses. With that, that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. And we are so excited to bring you episode 17 of season 4, Husband and Strife.
Husband and Strife, because all a husband brings you is strife.
At least, well, according to the movies,
according
that is correct.
To the films, that is correct. If you are out there and you have a husband who you love very much, we are here for you. We appreciate you. But we are here to talk about the lesbian movie trope of the wife who cheats on her husband, because it happens very, very often. Should we just start by reading out all of the times that it happens in films?
Okay, here's the thing. Ellie and I had some thoughts about this topic. So we started making a list of, like, what are some movies where you can think of where this kind of thing happens, right? So, like, yeah, why don't you just rattle off some names, Ellie?
Yeah, so this happens so often in films, and we were like, yeah, it happens a lot, right? Just from our brains. And then when we actually put it down, here we are. Bound, Carol, Imagine Me and You. Below Her Mouth, I Can't Think Straight. Loving Annabelle, Disobedience. Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Elena Undone, Kiss Me. But I'm a Cheerleader, question mark. My Days of Mercy, Vita in Virginia. Colette, Jenny on the L Word. Woo!
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's more. Don't worry. There's more. It's an endless list. So we wanted to talk about it because we have a lot of thoughts.
We have a lot of thoughts about it.
Of course. Ellie and I have thoughts about a thing that is related to queer life.
Happens in so many lesbian films.
Go figure.
There are quite a lot of tropes in lesbian films, right? Especially the older films. But even still, we keep getting more and more queer content. And I feel like still we get these things that happen. And one of the big things that happens is cheating. In general, but we're going to talk about cheating in general, but we're going to talk about, you know, there's the stereotypical lesbian who turns a bisexual and steals her away from her husband in this torrid love affair.
I wish everyone could see the physicality of you saying this.
There's
right
so
now.
Many quotations. But we know, if you've seen any film, you know this happens often. The thing is, we love it. We hate it. We have all the feelings in between. I mean, Imagine Me and You is honestly one of my favorite films.
The whole
plot is her cheating on her husband.
Here's the thing. Let's break this down at the start with why do we think that we see this so often? Because I actually think there's a bunch of different reasons. And I think the different reasons lend themselves to different results sometimes in
different
the movies.
Types of films.
So, and this is going to be fun because we didn't even actually write any of these down. So let's just take turns and I will pick one to start.
Great.
Because I feel like it's the most glaring one and I would just like to blame everything always on Comp Het.
Yes.
This is compulsory heterosexuality at play, right? So I think part of the reason that you see this trope play out so many times in these movies is that it is understood and understandable to audiences and has been for a very long time that you go through life heterosexually and then you wind up in a heterosexual marriage. And at some point, maybe you get this idea that, like, oh, maybe there's something else out there, or there's temptation, or there's seduction. But it's all operating in this framework of heterosexuality. Compulsory heterosexuality.
Yep.
And I think that's a huge thing here, right? I mean, you can't avoid, and because realistically, the one thing that I do think we should say up front is, like, as Ellie and I are going to complain about this trope a lot, it is not that we have any problem with late bloomers, late in life lesbians, people coming out after getting married. There's nothing inherently wrong with doing it. We're more trying to get at the question of why does it happen in movies so often and what effects does it have when it happens in movies so often.
Yes.
And that's a big one because it is reinforcing compulsory heterosexuality,
yes.
Which leads to late bloomers and people coming out later in life, or people getting married and then realizing that they married the wrong person, perhaps. So there's like this weird interconnectedness.
Yes. Well, I agree. It's also the fact that, like, and this is, I think, what, like, frustrates me as a queer woman who wants to see a film about queer women is that then you have a story that centers around a man.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, didn't need to center, even if he is not in the film. Like, even if you barely see him, his presence, his ownership of this woman is present in the entire film. And that, like, really grates on me. Obviously, like, so hard.
So here's hard. Here's what I love about this, Ellie. Here are the first two things we picked out to blame for this. Comp Het and the patriarchy. And we are right on both fronts, okay?
Yes.
They're two problematic things to have as the focus of queer movies.
Yes. There is this part of the queer experience where like okay, for myself, I was dating men until I was dating women. Like, mm-hmm. that is how it goes. Like, it is very rare for a human being to start dating people and be like, the first person I ever dated was someone of the same gender. Like, that's very rare. And if you are someone like that, honestly, I'm so happy for you. I'm jealous. But obviously, that's a super common thing, right?
Yeah.
So we're not saying, like, this is so unrealistic. It is realistic. But the thing that gets me is, like, the communication aspect of it. Of, like, okay, if this is realistic and, okay, you're a late bloomer and you realize I have very strong feelings for this other woman, there's a few options you could take to figure that out. And the first option in every film is cheating.
Is cheating. I know. Well, and it's the other thing that is problematic to me about this. And it's, okay, I'll go next. We've done,
sorry,
we did Compet. You chose the patriarchy. I'm now going to pick straight writers.
Yes.
Writing
great choice.
Films,
great choice.
Which again, does not cover all of these, but I think it does cover some of them.
Yes.
And again, there's this thing where I feel like as a straight writer, that you might not even necessarily see that you're doing, which is like enforcing heterosexuality as the norm, centering your story on a man and his feelings about this whole thing. You are also making living an authentic queer life a negative thing. Like, no matter how you do it, even in love stories, even in Imagine Me and You, even where that is the happy ending that you're building towards, you still cast this shadow over it as like, but it's still bad, remember?
Yeah.
Because, like, it made her a cheater, right?
Yep.
And it's so frustrating because I agree. Like, Imagine Me and You is still one of my favorite movies and probably always will be, just because it has always been, like, it held that place as, like, for such a long time when I would tell people, like, you know, they're like, oh, like, what's a queer movie? And you're like, well, there's, like, one good one.
Yeah. There's one.
And then there's, like, some
nice
others.
Yeah.
And I could recommend some of those as well. But, like, it for such a long time, it kind of held that place as, like, the movie. And still, every time I would watch it, I'm like, talk to him, just break up with him. Like, I want to watch your love story, but I want it to not be tinged with this betrayal and, like, all of this stuff that makes it bad and wrong, you know? And so I think that, like, it's an easy thing to fall into, because obviously we're going to come back to the cheating issue a ton, and I get it, it's drama.
Yep.
It makes your movies dramatic.
Well, it's the same way that coming out is dramatic.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, so it's like, okay, let's use all of the trauma of our community and make it a film. So yes, like, it paints not only the person in the relationship as the bad guy, but it also paints, and this is, I think, another reason for this trope, is that as much as, like I said, we hate it, there also is something about the lesbian fuckboy.
Mm-hmm.
That draws people to these films. So I think it's also a trope because of the opposite, where that, like, as queer women, and, like, I have been guilty of this when I was younger because I saw so many of these films. To be, like, when I look back, I'm like, the impact of seeing, right? Oh, if I'm hot enough, if I'm, like, seductive enough, if I am, like, this sexy lesbian, then, like, it doesn't matter that you're with that boy, because in all the movies, the lesbian gets the girl and steals the girl away from the man, right? And it's a fantasy. Like, it is a fantasy of a lot of queer women who, like, because our dating pool is smaller, like, and we've talked about, like, the crushes on straight girls before, like, it is fulfilling a fantasy, I think, on both ends.
Yeah, and it creates this ideal, right? That, like, you can do that. You can steal her away. You can turn her, you know?
Yes.
It creates that as, like, the most common form of how relationships start that you yes. see in movies. And, like, that's so fucked.
It's so bad. It's
such
bad.
A horrible, ideal thing to create in the minds of, like, impressionable young queer people as, like, how do you start dating a girl? Well, first you go to her wedding, and then yes. it's like, what?
Oh, God. How do you start? Yeah, just... how do you start dating a girl? First, you move in across the hall from her and her husband. You kill him. You, like...
It's so messed
up. It's so bad.
It's really not great.
It's really not good. And that's the thing. Like, so that's why, like, can we go into a little bit of, like, examples of films?
Because let's do it.
Because that's why, like, Below Her Mouth, when that freaking movie came out, I don't know what it was. Like, maybe just, like, I think it's, like, the time that it came out was... It used every single trope we've ever seen in this, like, cheating thing. And I was like, why are we still doing this? Like, I was like, why do we have to have this be their story? Like, couldn't you have this lesbian fuckboy hook up with this woman who's single in her own home? You know, like, why do we have to deal with the fiancé?
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Because otherwise, where do they get their easy drama and tension? I yes. mean, that's the thing. And it's...
Oh, my God. I'm like, when did that come out? 2016. And I mean, to be fair, it has a horrible score on Rotten Tomatoes. Clearly, like, it was... It's not a film that people are holding up. But still, it's a film that young queer people were watching and saying, oh, I want to be that lesbian.
Yeah.
And, like, what does that do to people? Like, it... And so... We've talked about this a little bit before we got on this call, but I think there's a big difference between, okay, that's in 2016, and that, like, really frustrates me because I'm like, 2016, we don't have to deal with this cheating stuff. Like, why couldn't they just both be gay and have this, like, interesting kind of relationship? And it could still be toxic because clearly, like, they're both toxic people, but, like, it doesn't have to be toxic in that way.
Yeah.
But I think, like, the trope had been done so often before 2016 is a bit more understandable in that, like, you do have those aspects of, like, for example, Carol, which is a new film, but is set in a time where right. when we're talking about compulsory heterosexuality, that's, like, 100%. Like, people weren't...
But isn't it interesting? Because, like, Carol, I would say the same thing, like, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, right? Mm-hmm. And what's interesting to me is, in those situations, you have already the tension, the taboo, the impossibility of that situation. And also...
Yes.
You gave them husbands, right? Like, Carol could have just been, like, how could we possibly do this? It's the... 50s, we can't be together, nobody can know, let me smoke my long cigarette and stare out a window and just be sad and mournful and longing about it. But no, she also has to have a husband who knows what's happening and is like central to that story, and his emotions and his feelings of betrayal and emasculation and all of that, like, gets a front row seat, right? Portrait of a Lady on Fire, like, somehow this man that she is marrying, who you never see, who you yep. never hear anything about, who is not even a character that exists, but there's this specter of him the yes. whole time, you know? And it's like when they sleep together, like, she is stealing his bride-to-be, and you know that, and you are aware of it, and they make you aware of it, even though they could never have been together regardless. Like, it wouldn't have mattered, you yes, know? But you give them more of a pass.
But you can give them, I think, more of a pass too. Because, like, as you're saying that, though, like, yes, she didn't have to be married to a man, but, like, odds are pretty high she was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not independently wealthy, like,
yeah,
you needed a man to take care of you, quote unquote, all that other shit.
But does it bother you more in the modern day settings?
It bothers me so much more in the modern day settings. It bothers me so much
exactly,
more.
Exactly.
Right? So much more. Yes. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, it's like it bothers me so much more in the modern settings because when you think of it in the greater context of our society, you don't have to do it. You right. truly don't.
Thank you.
But yes.
Well, and same thing. Like, if you look at, let's take disobedience, right? Disobedience, she is in a very strict conservative community, but also she has to cheat on her husband.
Yes.
It's just over and over, over and over and again. Over and it, over. Is,
over.
It is a lot.
It's
I know.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I also, like, this is just a tangent on cheating in general, but I feel like it always sort of irks me the, okay, just as someone who has been cheated on personally, it always irks me the, like, idea that you have no control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, and I think, like, okay, so that irks me, but I also think that's part of what makes this an exciting, enticing fantasy to people watching the film of, like, oh, love is like, I have no control. I couldn't have stopped myself. Like, this woman was so, so sexual and so beautiful that I had to throw everything away. Right? And I'm like, it's at the same time, I'm like, understand because you're cheating on your husband.
Right.
But don't understand because, like, there are things that are in your control.
It's here, and okay, I know we already talked a little bit about this in our 2020V episode, because I obviously this is something that you and I get stuck on a lot. Because I agree, I understand, and I usually try to approach media from the perspective of, like, I know they're just trying to create the conflict in their story, and it's an easy source of conflict. I get that. Me as a person, like, I find cheating to be just one of the laziest
plot
unnecessary
devices.
Not even plot device, like, in real life. Like, I find cheating lazy and unnecessary because it just seems so absurdly easy not to. You know, like,
because you're saying that if you just break up
or yes.
like people cheat because they don't want to break up. Like, they want to break up, but they don't want to do the breaking up.
I mean,
there's a
like,
lot of reasons, but
they want, I assume they want to, yes, there's a lot of reasons. I would assume sometimes it comes down to, like, I'm in a relationship and I don't want to end that relationship, but I also want that over there, right? That's also not what we're talking about here, right? Like, especially in these movies, you're literally talking about situations where it's like, I am in this relationship, and oh my God, I don't want to be in this relationship. I want that over there. So instead, let me stay in this relationship and secretly go have that over there. And yes. It's like, but...
Well, also,
why?
As you're saying that, that's giving me another thing of, like, the secret.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, the secret part of it is huge.
The secret is huge in F. That's like an overarching thing in queer films, right? Like, either something's a secret because you're in the closet. Something's mm-hmm. a secret because you can't tell your friends. And like, that's just specifically people talking about their sexuality. Then you add on top, oh, it's also a secret because I'm gay and I'm cheating on my husband. And then
it's like
it turns,
extra taboo.
Well, it's like what you're talking about where, like, it turns being gay into something that needs to be hidden, mm-hmm. something that you do in the shadows, something that you do when not in public, not like, yeah, something that you can't do with, like, your husband is your public life and this woman is your secret taboo,
yeah,
bad
and
life.
And they become intertwined, like, inextricably intertwined together, right? So that when
yes.
people are shocked and horrified and judge you for the cheating part, they are also at the exact same time
yes.
judging you for the gay part.
Yep.
right? It like it ties them together with this stupid heteronormative patriarchal knot that you like can't escape from because they're one and the same. It's not just that you like, you know, made out with a woman, slept with a woman. It's that you cheated with a woman.
Yes.
But it right? is. And like that's...
Yeah.
It doesn't such make a big it, part like, of it.
And that's like, okay, so we have like, what, 40 freaking movies on this list, right? And those 40 queer relationships aren't starting like heterosexual relationships do. Like, where's the meet cute? The meet cute is we slept together when her husband was on vacation. Like, like, we met at a party and luckily her husband was on a business trip. Like, what? Yeah. Like...
Well, it's, and that's when you when you try to think of, because here's the thing, what I was trying to think of when we were just talking about this is, let's say I try to compare a movie like Imagine Me and You, which I would say is like the gay rom-com, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's our gay rom-com, right? Let's compare that to your average straight Hallmark rom-com, whatever. They don't feel the same to me. Even when you have the situations where it's like, oh, you're a small town girl with a big city boyfriend and I'm going home for Christmas and I'm realizing that my high school sweetheart has a heart of gold and a dog who's old and, you know, like a kid who needs a mom and like, I don't know. But still, even in those situations, it doesn't, they never center the big city boyfriend dude being cheated on the way that you center the man, the husband, in these storylines. And it's not like there is, I just feel like there is never that same tinge of like judgment and negativity and wrongness in rom-coms that we get in our rom-coms. I'm like, why are our rom-coms always designed to make us feel bad about being gay?
Well, that's like, honestly, that's a really good, like, I'm thinking about, you know, Sweet Home Alabama is honestly one of my favorite rom-coms that does this.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you think about that, okay, or okay, no, even worse, The Notebook.
Yep.
But they do not, you're right, they barely center around the guy she's cheating on. Like, all that matters is, oh, their love is pure and beautiful, and they had to cheat because, like, they're just so beautifully in love.
And that other guy is such a douche anyways, right?
Yes.
That's the other thing that, like, you don't always get in these stories. Like, sometimes, yes.
Sometimes.
You know.
Well, like, think about Imagine Me and You. They're like, oh, we can't make the guy a douche.
I know.
No, because, and also,
and he's not,
he's
and
not,
I love him,
and I love it, and it's fine. And,
but let's look at, like, Carol, right? Like, the husband's a dick in Carol, fine.
Yes. But, like, I think about, like, Sweet Home Alabama is probably a better example, because it's like, they don't sleep together, right? So it's like, there also is this element of, or if you're thinking of a Hallmark film, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an element of, there's a line that is drawn for, like, decency that they never draw for lesbians. They just sleep with each
other.
Yeah,
you always get that, like, oh, he finally made it here, and now he's being mean, and so I'm going to say, like, it's over, and then you run, and now you finally, like, you've been building up this almost will-they-won't-they tension the whole time, and then you kiss, and you're not cheating because you just broke up with him.
Exactly. So it's that difference of, even though, like, still, obviously, it's much more complicated, but it is that difference, and I think it's an important difference that we see so often. They don't communicate with their partner that I'm in love with someone else and I need to leave until they've already, like, created this huge secret that is a lesbian relationship. Remember when I said I had a lot of feelings on this before, Lee?
Okay. We have a lot of feelings. We're going to take a hot break. We're going to hear from some sponsors. We're going to come back and talk about more feelings that we still...
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
We'll have, don't worry. Okay, tell me all the rest of your feelings, Ellie.
I have so many feelings, but I think one of the bigger things that I want to talk about that I have now, as an adult, realized is biphobia, and like also creates really horrible bisexual tropes, is the cheating bisexual that mm-hmm. is perpetuated. Mm-hmm. Because besides, okay, so I want to talk about The Kids Are All Right.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it. God help us.
God help us. I had a very intense conversation with one of my friends about The Kids Are All Right the other day, because I had a visceral reaction to this film. Okay. And so let me tell you about this, because there were so many layers to this, and now I truly understand them. So we watched the film, me and my friend Claire, who we were for sure gay magnetism together. Okay.
Nice.
I totally had a huge crush on her. We went to camp together. We pushed our beds together and like snuggled at camp when I was like 17. And I wasn't gay. No. So I went to go visit Claire in the Bay Area, actually. We went to go see The Kids Are All Right together. And this was her freshman year of college and my senior year of high school. So we went to go see it. I was not out at all. We went to go see the movie. And after the movie, we were in the car talking, and I was so angry. And I kept saying to her, I was like, why is it that the feminine looking one of the pair has to be with a man? Why couldn't she just be attracted to her butch lesbian wife? Yeah. Why does she have to have this fling with a man? And like, why does her appearance have to mean she is bisexual?
Oh, God, that movie.
And that really, like, and to be fair, like, she could be bisexual. Like, that's fine. For me, obviously, it was hitting a big nerve of, like, okay, the femme-presenting one sleeps with men, and, like, you can't be a lesbian. You have to be bisexual. Like, you can't only like women if you look like Julianne Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And that really pissed me off.
Here's the thing about that movie. That movie, I can see why there are redeeming qualities to it. I can see like the acting and the writing, fine, great. But that movie is harmful in so many ways. It's just, it's like you watch that movie and you just, the idea that like that was a movie primarily marketed to straight people as well. Right? Like, you got the big name actors, you got the big studio production, you got all of this stuff, and you're like, and God, what year did that come out? I mean, that came out in
2010.
What, like the late aughts, early 2010s or something? I mean, that is like, God, yes. right around the time where you're like, you know, we're fighting against DOMA. You're like, we want to get married. And you make this fucking movie that is like, here's a happy lesbian couple and they've been married forever and they're moms and look at how great they are. And like, whoops, one of them tripped on a dick. And you're like
literally,
what is happening?
What is happening?
Like, why would you feel the need to make this movie to say, like, look, even they can't, like,
resist
the siren call of Mark Ruffalo and a penis. Like, why? Like, the whole... And it...
This movie has a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I got into a vicious fight with my friend because she was like, "I love it. It's a great film." And I was like,
"Look,
it is so harmful. It is so harmful." Because in a time where you're trying, like, okay, so I guess you're trying to say, oh, lesbian couples, they're just like me and you. They have issues too.
They cheat like straight people.
Yeah, they cheat just like straight people. And it's like, okay, yeah, sometimes they do. But also, like, if that's going to be, like, one of the first films where you see a queer couple who have kids and you're going to name it The Kids Are All Right.
Yes. Yes.
And you're trying to talk about, like, you know, queer parents can have good, positive relationships, too. That's not the film. That's not the film.
And it's also, like, it's harmful in the plot in terms of, like, what it creates as an impression, one of the very, very few impressions of queer families in the general, like, media culture that we exist in. It's also, like, the whole bisexual cheating thing, it's not even that it happens. It's that it happens and, like, she is so shamed for it specifically around that issue, right? That, like, it's not just that she cheated. It's that she slept with a man. And they make it so hideous in that movie to have done that. And I'm like, I understand, like, part of me, at like the lesbian part of me is like, yeah, if you want to have lesbians in your movie and one of them's going to cheat, like, maybe cheat with a woman. There's a concept.
Yeah, yeah.
But then where would the man be in our patriarchal society?
Well, that's the thing,
society?
Too, where I'm like, so a man
I get
is,
it.
So a man is centered yet
he's
again
still the center.
In a lesbian film. I'm like, so but, you turn the trope around to have a queer couple and one of them cheats. You turned it around on his head. However, you're still centering a man in their story.
But here's my only other problem with that is, like, if someone's going to cheat, it reinforces, like, so many harmful things that bisexual people have to hear and put up with and have put on them all the time. All the time. You know? And I'm like, oh, it is just, it's done in, like, such an ugly way in that movie, I feel like, too. That I'm like, I know as a lesbian watching that movie how horrified I was. I can't imagine as, like, a bisexual person watching that movie what that must have felt like. Because it was just, like, nothing about that movie was positive.
Yes.
It was just, like, bad to everyone involved. It made every part of it look bad. It made lesbians look bad. It made lesbian parents look bad. It made bisexuals look bad. It made men look bad. But I mean, it was just like it made the people being cheated on look, like, it was just like everything across the board. Like, nobody came out of that movie looking like a good person, you know? Yep. And it was just like, yeah, like, I remember when that came out and being like, oh my God, a movie about a family with lesbian moms, and like, that's so cool. I can, like, you know,
see myself
and, like, what my future is gonna be like. And then you go see it and you're like, what is this movie where, like, all you want to do is sit around and watch, like, men having sex together and then sleep with one of them? Like, that's not my life. I don't understand. And it was just, especially at the time that it came out, like, because that's what I remember, you know, it's like, good God, like, 2010. So, like, I got married the year after that came out. DOMA was still a thing. Like, it was state to state whether you could get married or not. You're out here every day trying to argue, like, we should be able to get married and have rights and have families just like everyone else. And then that comes out and it was like a damn slap in the face. Yep. I mean, it was just... it was a lot.
It's a lot. Well,
it
and that's
was
like
a lot.
But that is such like the like I it was traumatic for me. I haven't watched it since then. And I
No, I haven't either. I watched it when I first saw it and that's it. I've never watched it again.
I wasn't even actively gay and it told me very clearly that like I was not going to have a happy life.
Yeah.
Like that's what I got from that
film. And so let's talk about this, because I know we mentioned it at the beginning. I feel like we're looping back around to it. Is like, what does it do to generations of young queers to constantly see these stories told? Whether it's, you know, The Kids Are All Right or just this general idea that we're talking about of like, You fall in love with a man and you get married and you start a family, and then maybe when you're 38, you might realize, ooh, there's some hot woman seducing me with her short haircut and her oozing sensuality, like, fuckboy attitude, and, like, maybe she'll lure me away. Like,
I mean,
or that you get to be the fuckboy. Like, I don't, what does that create as, like, options for queer people when we're trying to look for ourselves, our future, our lives, our dreams, our goals?
Like, I mean, I think it creates,
where does it leave us?
It creates such a toxic idea of what a queer relationship should be. Like, it really does. The fact that cheating is so central to a ridiculously high number of those films, like, really, really, like, it reinforces that, like, cheating is normal and okay in our community. And, like, who knows? That's probably how you'll find a girlfriend. And I think, like, not even just, like, the bisexual aspect of it. Like, I know a lot of people, like, am surrounded by people who, like, really just, like, date and then cheat and then date. Like, I see it constantly with my friends, and it's, like, very normalized. Like, and I do think subconsciously it's because of these films. Like, I really do.
Yeah.
And, like,
it's also, it's such a dangerous thing, I think, to show, especially, like, the movies that younger queer people are going to watch, because I understand why there's not, like, there's this sort of balance where, like, I think most people, when you look at media, you have to look at it through the lens of, like, media is not reality, right? Like, and I get that. But I think the difference is that, like, straight people, when they watch movies that are full of toxic relationships and cheating and, like, you know, all of these things, I think there's this baseline assumption on the part of the people, like, creating and curating that content, that they are still surrounded by and live in a world that is full of examples of other options that are more realistic in their life, you know? Of, like, what a relationship can look like, what dating can look like, what falling in love can look like. Queer people, I mean, more so these days, but, like, it's never going to be to the same extent. You are
Yes.
never going to have queer people growing up living in a world where they look around them and all they see everywhere around them are queer relationships and queer couples and queer dating and queer falling in love. Like, that's not what they see. What they see is just this crap.
Yes.
You know, and which, like, look, obviously, we love these movies. We watch them all the time. We are going to continue watching them. But at the same time, what is it teaching them? How is this
Yes.
teaching them to date? How is this teaching them to resolve conflicting feelings? How is this teaching them to get past the honeymoon period of a relationship and experience that feeling of, like, whoa, someone else looks attractive tonight. I must fuck them now. It's what? That's not the answer, young queer folk. That's not
but yet,
it. Like,
and yet.
And yet.
Yes.
That's all they see. That's all they see. You never, it's, if you never see anything else modeled, why would you know that there's anything else that is an option or that you could try or should
yes.
do, you know?
I like, will say, like, for
it's
any...
It's just...
I do also think, like, people don't have a lot of positive relationships
I mean,
in general.
This is true.
I don't want to... Because I'm
this
also,
is
like...
true.
Not... I don't want to say, like, oh, like, straight people also have a great... Like, because they see a lot of toxic relationships as well, I think. But...
Straight people never cheat, is what we're saying.
Yeah, I don't want to say that, but
no, and I'm not saying that. I just think that it's different.
What you're saying.
I understand
what you're saying.
There's a different scope, you know.
Yes, and like the amount, the sheer amount of movies, like the percentage of films that center around the queer experience, that center around this one particular experience, makes you feel like, oh, this must be the majority of mm-hmm. what queer relationships are. And that, and I'm like, that shouldn't be accurate, but it can't. It's like the chicken and the egg of freaking cheating, right? Of like, okay, yeah, that shouldn't be true. And then all these queer relationships are modeling that behavior.
Yeah.
Like, And I think, yeah, it has a horrible impact. It's on the relationships, on the lesbian fuckboy stereotype of like, if this is what people have to look up to, they're going to model it. It's like the Shane effect.
Yeah. Like the Shane effect.
The Shane effect. It is real. It is true. I feel like, I mean, what's the answer? Like, can we get some films where the queer women aren't cheating?
I mean, I'd like to believe
can we?
I can't tell you for sure since all we can have right now are period pieces and it's hard to avoid in them. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just hard. It's like, you know, you get into this question of like, what are we showing as options? And it's like, either you get married and come out later in life, or you become the person who steals like women away from their husbands. Or your alternative of like, oh, I want to see like, you know, people falling in love and like realizing they have these feelings, in which case it's a coming out story every single time, you know? And it's like, it just, I mean, obviously what? You and I know as we dove into writing our own rom-com that it's like, it sometimes like it almost feels hard to avoid because when you start, even when just by virtue of having grown up like steeped in these types of movies and this type of media is like, those are the things that you're like, I'll make a movie. It'll be this. And she'll leave her husband. And you're like, what? No, what?
Like,
why?
God damn it. There's no like,
God damn it. Why am I doing it again?
But she'll like you leave almost. Her wife.
She'll Success. Leave her wife. Yeah. It's like you almost don't even notice that you fall into this pattern of like, these are the only stories to tell. And they're so clearly not. There are just piles and piles and piles of stories that you could tell that straight people have told forever.
Years, for millennia.
From times past.
Let's just get some freaking gay people going up a mountain to put the ring somewhere. You know what I mean?
I'm like, yes.
What's the Lord of the Rings about?
Ellie, the Lord of the Rings is about little gay hobbits bringing a ring up a mountain. Please, okay?
It truly is.
Excuse you. If you think that Frodo and Samwise Gamgee were not lifelong lovers,
they
I don't even know what
are.
You're talking about. Like, get out of here.
Let's get some lesbian Jedi.
Let's get some lesbians.
I don't know.
Yes.
Like, there's more stories.
Well, or just like any other story, like any rom-com tropey. I mean, obviously we have one. It's coming at you in June. But any sort of tropey rom-com, whatever. We're making a musical. No, this is not a plug for us. This is a plug for please write us other things. Please write other stories. There's so much more that could be done that maybe like the young queer babes need to see to have just something else in mind. It's just like, whew.
Before we go to our Q and Gay, because obviously we are feeling very intense feelings. Let's do a little palate cleanser, because as you're talking,
okay,
let's give a few examples of movies that don't have this trope that people could watch instead.
Okay, I've
got
it.
Or movies or TV shows.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. The Carmilla movie.
Yes. I'm going to say I Hate New Year's.
Amazing.
Yeah.
God damn it. God damn you, cheating. There's totally more.
You've thought of two and we're tapped out.
Princess Sid.
Okay, gotcha.
This feels like one of those drinking games that you would play at a queer... You know when it's like categories? Category, not cheating on husband lesbian films.
Saving Face.
Amazing. Does the half of it count?
Yes.
Not really?
I don't know.
Because she...
And there's not... cheating per se, but if you're gonna go for the not center a man as as part of the story,
also,
I don't know.
Yeah, I skipped.
It's
that
not
one.
Cheating. It's not cheating. So I'll give it to us. I'll give it to us.
Fuck you, lesbians. The Favorite? ? Or no?
She must have been married at the time.
Was she married to that guy when she starts sleeping with the queen?
I think they were both married.
Oh, she is married.
The queen is married. Rachel Weisz is married.
Wait, the queen is married?
The queen has to be married, right?
To who? Where's her husband?
I think you just don't ever see him in the movie. But I think she was married. I think Rachel Weisz's character is married. And then what's her, and then
Why
what's her
is
face
this so hard?
Gets married.
Okay.
They're all three married, Ellie.
Let's go with
There Has to Be More. We can do this. I believe in us.
This is
Booksmart.
Yes. This is one of the saddest things that has ever happened on Let's Hang Out.
The amount of time it took us to make a list of like 48 options for the cheating trope,
and then
it did not take long at all. And the amount of time it is taking us to try to come up with ones that aren't that.
What about happiest season?
Yeah, I'll give it to it.
Even though we have other issues with that.
It almost gets thrown into like a kids are all right the other way with that ex-boyfriend, right?
Oh, I'm also like does Riley count?
Does Riley? No, because she should have been with Riley. It's fine. We just had to make sure we talk about happiest season in every episode this season.
Every single one. Really, it's killing me that we can't think of more.
Yeah. I mean, look, they are out there. I believe that we are going to start getting more, especially as we start getting more queer people involved.
Wait, what about Girl Trash?
Oh,
have you ever seen Girl Trash all night long?
I haven't.
I think Girl Trash doesn't have cheating
okay.
in it.
I'll give it to you because I can't say no. So I think that as we start getting, especially like as we start getting more queer people involved behind the scenes in the writing and creating and like acting of these stories, that I really think we will start to see more of a change. That, like, I think people are realizing that they're tired of seeing this and want to see more, you know? Especially because I do think that, like, generationally, I think there's going to also be a shift, right? Like,
I pray
because
to God.
People are going to start, like, I mean, not like gays haven't been getting married, but, like, there's such a shift now in terms of, like, how the youth relate to and understand their sexuality and are going to start having, like, so many more examples and things to look at. I think it's gonna have to start changing that a bit more as well, but I would love to see us just maybe expand our horizons beyond this a little bit, you know?
Almost adults.
There you go.
Bit.
Now you're looking. You're searching something. What are you searching?
No, I was searching my mind while you were talking. All right. Now that we have racked our brains for things to cleanse our palate of the cheating trope, also, please send us an email if you have other films that don't have this trope because I want to watch them all. It's time for our Q and Gay.
Q and Gay.
Question number one. Are you the A, husband, B, wife, or C, lesbian fuckboy?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, I am the wife, but are we talking about, like, the wife who cheats?
The wife in this triangle?
I don't know how to answer that.
You can be the wife, but
I'll be the wife who doesn't cheat. How's that?
Yeah, you don't have to be the cheating wife. Yeah.
Okay, I'm the non-cheating wife. That's always what I strive to be, you know?
The bar is low.
The bar is underground. Question two, Ellie. What's your favorite cheating wife movie out of A, Carol, B, Imagine Me and You, C, Bound, or D, Below Her Mouth?
You know my answer.
I love it too.
I love Imagine Me and You and I can't stop loving it.
I can't. It's so hard.
I know. All right, question three. What do you think is most to blame for the popularity of the cheating trope? A, comp het, B, patriarchy, C, straight writers, or D, cheating as tension?
I know I went with comp het first, but I'm going to say overall, the patriarchy kind of wraps up a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to blame the patriarchy because just give us movies that don't focus on men when you're making a lesbian movie. Just a thought. Just an idea.
Just a thought.
Consider it, if you will.
All right. Oh, this is for me.
Question four, Ellie. Have you ever cheated on a partner? Yes or no?
No, I have not.
A classy lady. Ladies and gentlemen, my podcasting life partner.
Thank you. Question five. What's the worst part of The Kids Are All Right? A, cheating wife. B, bi shaming. C, sleeping with Mark Ruffalo.
I'm gonna say the cheating wife. I didn't get it in the movie. I still don't get it now. The bi shaming is terrible. I don't understand why she cannot keep herself off of Mark Ruffalo's dick in it, but I'm gonna stick with cheating wife, I think, is the worst part. So
I will say, like, I would probably sleep with Mark Ruffalo, so.
In that movie, though?
In that movie, no. In real life, yes.
Fair enough. Yes. Fair enough. In that movie, though, he's terrible.
In 13 Going on 30, to be fair.
Okay, fine. What about, what's my favorite Mark Ruffalo movie? It's also with Reese Witherspoon, and it's the one where she's like the ghost.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good one.
I love that movie.
It's so cute. Oh, my God, what is it?
Just Like Heaven, and I love that movie. And honestly, someone on Twitter like a year or two ago was like, if you could remake any rom-com but like make it gay, like what would you make and who would you cast? And like I want Just Like Heaven but with lesbians. That movie, right?
That just gave me goosebumps all over my body.
Right? I love that movie so much. I just want it to be gay.
Mine would be Sweet Home Alabama. So we're just making Reese Witherspoon.
Yes, films. We just want, look, honestly though, give me Reese Witherspoon movies but gay, and give me like every Sandra Bullock rom-com but gay. That's all I
yes.
want.
Yes. Damn.
I'm so simple. Good. I'm easy to please. Simple demands.
Honestly,
that's all
I want. We can make films for the rest of our life if all we do is just remake those films.
Are you kidding me? Yes.
Wow. All right, done.
Done.
You're welcome, gentle listeners. Remember, you can give your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Les Hang Out Pod.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from you and building community, so we want to shout out some of our favorite things each episode. And I would like to shout out this episode, Heidi, who commented on Instagram saying that Josie and the Pussycats are should have been gay was her favorite should have been gay yet. And I also agree. So I wanted to say thank you for that, Heidi. It made me very happy. I sent it to my friend Alec. He also was very, very happy that his episode was received so well. So I wanted to say thank you. And as always, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons.
Mark Foster, Jess Klaus,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rose Nishino,
Sarah and Julia,
Carrie Ann Lawrence,
Danny Gunlock Tamora,
Brittany Ray,
Alana Rosen,
Tara Gleason,
and Lizette Stye.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Liz Chen,
Evelyn Smith,
and River Penzo. Thank you all so much. We could not keep doing this podcast without you and all of our patrons.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or you can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up.
You can also subscribe to The Flame, an original podcast musical, on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search The Flame Podcast Musical and you will find it.
We also still have videos going up on our YouTube channel. Make sure that you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch those.
If you want to support the podcast, you can rate and review us on iTunes. It helps other people find the podcast, and we love hearing what you have to say.
If you want to support us financially, you can join our Patreon. You get access to all sorts of cool stuff like that Discord channel or our watch parties or game nights, all sorts of fun stuff. And we have a blast. You can find it at bit.ly/lespatreon. We also have a Patreon for The Flame. So if you're interested in hearing more about the musical, seeing some behind the scenes, getting some early drops of some of the songs, you should check out that Patreon as well. You can find it at patreon.com/theflamemusical.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can get that at bit.ly/lesshop. We have 35% off the shop this week, so make sure you check that out.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.